You're listening to The Rush Hour with MG on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. MG, before we introduce our next guest, I want to ask you, what were you doing at the age of 22?
Age of 22? Just won a comp with Penrith. Penrith Panthers.
Really? Well, that makes me feel even worse.
What did you do at 22?
Yeah, I think I just finished uni. I didn't have a job.
You still look 22.
The reason I mention it is because our next guest, at the age of 22, became the second youngest captain of the Wallabies ever.
He did.
He joins us in the studio now. He's also the leader of the New South Wales Waratahs. They're playing the Brumbies this weekend in Canberra. Michael Hooper, welcome to the Rush Hour with MG.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Fantastic.
Can we just to get familiarities out of the way, can we roll with Hoops?
What is your nickname?
Hoops is a go. Yeah, Hoops is a go.
That's your nickname?
Not all Crazy Eyes, but...
Crazy.
That was when I was younger, so probably shouldn't have said that one.
MG, you can call him Crazy Eyes if you want. I'm going to call him Hoops out of respect.
Mate, thanks for coming in to join us. It's always good when the athletes make time to come into the studio. We'd like to spend more time, especially with Australian captain. Got a big year ahead of you in more ways than one. How's it been thus far? How's your body holding up? And now that you're a veteran of the Aussie team?
At 27.
Yeah, it's gone quick. look, the start of this year has been great so far. I think the body takes a while to adjust. You know, you have a nice big break after the end of the season. Takes a few weeks to get in rolling. And now it's sort of in the groove of it. You almost feel more comfortable once the season's going. You're in the bumps. You've got the bruises. Mm. And then once you get, I'm sure you'd probably feel the same. Once you get in the groove of the season, you actually feel fantastic, and you've got everyone looking after you. You've got massages a couple of times a week, mate. It's a pretty good life.
Yeah, you've had the Tars have had an interesting start. You had a last gasp win and a last gasp draw, and then the loss against the Jaguars. But then you absolutely thumped the Rebels, which is always great for Sydney teams to beat Melbourne teams. Mm-hmm. How are you guys travelling? How's the team feeling ahead of the game against the Brumbies this weekend?
It's been an interesting roll-in for us. We had one game at home, and then we shot straight overseas. You know, away for 2.5 weeks there. A lot of different time zones, a lot of different things going on tour. Not the best results. We come home and have a big game against the Rebels and manage to turn around and then into a bye. So split straight back up again for a couple of days. So it's been, you know, a bit helter-skelter away from each other for a while. But, you know, now we can start looking at getting a bit of a groove. Now we play a couple of teams in our conference to get the ball rolling and moving along into the year.
Yeah, it's all about momentum, isn't it? When you're in a season, the last thing you want is to, you know, jump on a plane straight after a victory, especially at home, and you go, oh, now we're off to, you know, South Africa for 2 weeks and, eating all foods over there that we spoke about earlier. They're cooked a lot differently than we cook here, and it's a lot more than just the rugby side of it. It's the cultural side of different places that especially rugby union players have got to get used to as well.
Yeah, I mean, it is one of the great sides of it. You know, we 2 days after that win, we're in Durban, different place, coast. We're actually around where the cricket team was, you know, right on the coast, beautiful spot. And then you're eating different foods, you're talking to different people, doing all these different things. So really, really fantastic space. But within that, you've got all these challenges. You've got fields that aren't your usual. You've got different weather. You've got, yes, different foods that can upset your body in different ways, and you've got to deal with it. But, I mean, the only saving grace is that everyone has to do it throughout the year. We've got a lot less weeks away than the South African teams do, so I guess that's a positive.
How does a young bloke who grew up on the Northern Beaches, whose dad played union as well for Manly in the early 90s, how did you get introduced to rugby union, and was there an interest in league or AFL or cricket as a young bloke as well?
Look, I think it was union. My dad's a Pom originally, so union, even though he picked it up quite late when he was 18, he moved out to Australia when he was 24, went straight to Manly and they looked after him. It was just the mateship that he found in union was fantastic. He actually almost went and played for the Bears back in the day, which is a throwback. But look, the school I went to was Union. Manly Roos was such a good club to me, which then feeds into Manly Rep, and you know that I was stuck in that. Never, my brother played a bit of league, but going back, it would have been cool, but never did.
Do you keep an eye on the Seagulls when they're playing? Are they your team in rugby league?
Yeah, watch the boys. I've met a couple of them. They're really good guys, and Brookie's a great stadium. Mm. A bit of a fortress sometimes, so I know they get paid out a lot, but I enjoy watching the boys play.
Have you had any interaction with those guys? I know that we had a couple of the AFL blokes from the Giants and the Swans in here a couple of weeks back.
Plus, we had Curtley as well earlier in the year.
And we've had Curtley as well, but we've spoken, they've talked about how they occasionally do a little bit of kicking work with the league teams. Have you ever had any interaction with from a skills transfer point of view?
Yeah, so we had Freddie in a couple of years ago through Czech. Czech was mates with, had some discussions about how they see the game. And we actually had a run against the Roosters as a Wallaby team about 2 years ago. And just sort of lining up against a different offense, different defense. And, I mean, the gap, the 10 metres back just changes the picture completely.
How did those scrums go in that game?
No, there's no scrums, mate. No scrums. The Roosters boys were gone long before that. No, but look, huge respect to what they do. For such a, you know, similar game in a lot of ways, they're very different, very skillful in some areas, and physically very impressive in other areas.
Hypothetically, if the Australian Kangaroos were to play the All Blacks,
which has been long talked about,
you'd love to see it, but I don't think it'll ever happen because it's just as Hoop said, it's such different games. You know, you probably get the All Blacks winning the first half by 50 if we played union rules, then Australia maybe 50 in the second half. Is that the way you'd see it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't see how it would work.
No.
You know, for as much as they talk about it, I can't see how it would work.
Well, you talk about the differences in the games, but there's one bloke in particular, many converts. Dual internationals, cross codes. There's been a lot of players who've done it over the years, but there's one bloke at the moment who you have as both a club teammate and a national teammate, Israel Folau. What has been your experiences playing with Izzy?
Yeah, he's the best athlete I've ever seen.
Unbelievable.
Oh, he's incredible. Just, he makes people who look good in the air just terrible. That's how good he is at getting up, how big he is and how dominant he is going and getting the ball. And then, on the flip side of that, the humble side of what Izzy brings to a team and you know, as a real leader around the Polynesian boys, I've been very lucky. I've played majority of my rugby years with Izzy, and hopefully for a couple more.
As a captain of our national team, which is such an honour, what's been the highlight thus far?
Yeah, it's been a privilege. Look, I think one of the great things about sport is it brings people together, right? And the first time I was captain down in Melbourne, we were playing the French back in 2014. I was very inexperienced for that role. But all my friends and family came down and you got to have a beer after the game. We got a win, which helps. So you're 1-0 at the time. But, you know, I was able to, you know, sing the anthem. You look up and you see your friends and your family in the crowd and everyone else singing, you know, the national anthem was, you know, it gives me chills thinking about it. Really awesome.
So how did that work out, though? Because Stephen Moore suffered the injury, which and he was captain at the time, meant he was going to be out for the year. Was Robbie in charge then or was Ewan McKenzie at charge at that point?
No, Link was. Yeah.
So did he come to you and say, I want you to step into this role? Did you have any inkling you were going to be asked to captain the Wallabies?
No inkling. No, it was Adam Ashley Cooper, myself, a vice-captain at the time. Maury, who was who later came back to be captain, a fantastic captain and really good mentor for myself, unfortunately did his knee. And, it was just, I think, when the team was getting named, maybe 2 or 3 days later when you have to go into another game that following week, I got the tap on the shoulder.
79 caps at such a young age. Do you remember every place that I played at and every scoreline?
Yeah, I would.
Really?
But you'd have to show me the list. You know, if I saw the list, I couldn't rattle, you know, what was 45 or something like that. But everyone has a distinctive moment, I'd say.
Wow. So George Gregan, I think, holds the record at 130. 130 caps for Australia.
Yeah, that's about it, 139.
I think it's 139. Obviously, you'll smash that if you keep going the way you're going. I bet you 15, 20 years ago when you were a young tacker coming through the grades, you'd never in a million years think that one day you'd be the most capped Wallaby of all time.
Oh, well, still a long way to go.
No, I'm not. Let's not put the cart before the horse, but I'm being hypothetical.
Yeah, no, you never do. It really is just one game at a time. I mean, you know how it is when you play. You're so focused on the week, and a week in rugby is, you know, so much can happen. So, you know, just enjoy each week.
Like when I was a young bloke, I dreamt of being a world-class surfer. Like, and I lived in Mount Druitt.
Mick Fanning stole your dream.
So I had no chance whatsoever. But what was your dream as a sportsman, as a young bloke? Did you want to be anything else besides a union player?
You know, I love surfing as well. I didn't know what I was going to be until I finished school. And that's the reality of it. And, I was happy with it. I think you grow up on the northern beaches there and you just fly by the seat of your pants. But I loved surfing, you know. And then all of a sudden I signed in Canberra and you're far, far away from the beach. You know?
Well, you get a screen.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, that took that away. But, mate, that's what I love about Sydney. There's so many options for you.
You like your motorbikes too, I hear.
I do. My dad had a Harley when I was young, fat boy. So I've just sort of followed the...
Oh, you got a fat boy as well?
No, I've got a fat Bob.
Oh.
Yes, they're nice.
Wow.
That's good, yeah.
I've got no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, mate, my claim to fame is a YZ80. When I was here,
yeah.
we used to go in the bush and go to the RM80s, the YZ80s, and then I advanced up to a Yamaha Enduro 250, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, see, I'm just a weekend warrior, mate.
Yeah. I've never got time. Like, that was kind of at 17, I thought I wanted to be. Then I thought I was really good at motocross riding. I thought I might take this up as a career, and then all of a sudden I grew about 7 inches in one season. You know, went from about 5'10" to 6'5", and... Blake tapped me on the shoulder and said, how would you like to play for Penrith? Blah, blah, blah. You know, and the rest is, I suppose, history. But it's amazing what goes on in your mind, isn't it, as a 16, 17, 18-year-old. And I've got sons now who are 23 and 17. And I'm telling my 17-year-old son, just relax. Just it'll all work out the way you want it to if you really have a good, you know, if you really set yourself a foundation.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, just enjoy the ride a lot of the time. And I find that the less you think about it, you find yourself going to the places you want to go to.
Great call. Yeah, great call.
I'm fascinated, going back to especially the national setup at the moment, I'm fascinated about the relationship you have with David Pocock, because you guys were essentially competing for the same position in the national side. And David Pocock, obviously captain of the Wallabies as well at a point, celebrated player in rugby union. How was that dynamic between the two of you, knowing that you're essentially competing for a starting spot?
Yeah, it's always been a good dynamic. I think Dave brings out the best of myself, and you know, I'd like to think that we work well. I do the same for him. So, I mean, when we've been in the same team together, he's firstly, I think, a different personality to myself, which works. We don't see things the same way, but that sort of, not tension, but what that creates is you know, looking at things a different way and then coming to the best solution. And that's what's so good about, you know, having that type of diversity in the team, is coming together and going, well, I don't necessarily see that the same way. What is the best way forward? And once you do that, you back it. And that's what's good about Dave as well. Whether he, you know, likes it or doesn't, he goes along with it, and you go for the best result.
The other, I guess, big personality within the national setup at the moment is the coach. The comments that he made, I think, shocked the broader sporting world when he said that if we don't win the 2019 World Cup, I'll quit. I'll step down.
That's putting your balls on the line.
Absolutely. I mean, how did you, as captain and the broader playing group, how did you guys react?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's tricky when everyone's all over the shop right now. You got guys in Queensland, guys in Canberra. We're not all together. We're not all around each other. So, I mean, guys will read that and then have to go and play a Waratah game on the weekend, or go play a Reds game on the weekend. So you don't have much time to think about it. Look, I'm sure that when we get into Wallaby mode, that'll, you know, come to a head, but, you know, be there in the mix. But
you know, say, check, what's that for, mate?
Yeah, a little bit, but I go, respect, you know, respect 100%. To the boss, always, because putting, you know, like you said, balls on the line, and that's what I love about check.
One of the other most famous people in Australia you've rubbed shoulders with is the current bachelor, the Honey Badger. What about him?
I think we're rolling with the Honey Bachelor now.
Honey Bachelor.
The Honey Bachelor. Oh, yep.
Like, he's a different cat, but what a cool dude he seems.
Yeah, what do you want to know?
Oh, everything.
No, he's great, mate. He can tell a yarn, that's for sure. Yeah. So I'm sure there'll be plenty on the show.
It strikes me that he doesn't need to go on a TV show to find love. It strikes me that a bloke like Nick Cummins doesn't struggle to find a date.
He might be shy.
Oh, I don't think he's shy.
Not if you're going on The Bachelor, right?
No, I reckon it's great. My kids, even I've got 5 kids, and even they're starting to Google his name, going, "Oh shit, he played rugby union." And like, then how funny is he? They looked at this poem he did the other day at some launch of the Bledisloe or something about the Timbuktu, the poem,
yeah.
And they cracked up. My daughter, who's 10, said, "Dad, can I say that at school?" I said, "No, you can't."
Well, he lives over on the Northern Beaches. Do you hang out with the Badger a bit?
Yeah, I find him regularly down at this cafe, Dolce Terra. He's always there.
Okay.
He's a little health guy down there. So he looks after himself still after footy. And obviously for the show now, he's got to keep a good rig about him.
Pretty famous area, Collaroy at the moment?
I'm Manly, yeah.
Okay, we've got the Matty, the John's boy, Brandy's over there. Yeah. He was for a while. So it's a pretty hip-hop hat place in there.
DCE floats around the place, you know, with his coffee clubs, with Lachlan Croker these days.
I've got Jamison Town.
Yeah. Hey, the All Blacks, they have become almost mythical figures in terms of their dominance of international rugby union. We had, MG mentioned, we had Kirtley Beale and Drew Mitchell in here a little while ago, and we asked them, and I wanted to get your thoughts, what is the gap between us and the All Blacks at the moment? Like, how realistic are our aspirations to win the Bledisloe and win the World Cup next year?
Look, I've been confident every year going into them. I think you've got to be as a player. Mm. We've always got, you know, seen people and players in our team that you'd compete or you'd pick over any of the key, you know, All Blacks on their given day, right? It's just the consistency of how they do things is incredible.
Attention to detail, you know, especially.
The interesting thing about the international season, it's sort of just one-off games. After the Rugby Championship, after the Bledisloe, you're not playing, you know, for a cup. You're playing, you know, just a single test match. Everyone hugely important. However, it's easy to set a goal up for a title, a trophy at the end. It's hard to do it game to game with the travel involved. And that's what they've worked out and done very well over the last, you know, however long now. So for our improvement, it's working on the consistencies at training, as, you know, boring as it sounds, that sort of thing. So you can replicate your performance everywhere across the world for us, week to week, when there's only one game on the line there.
But it's not the Kiwis. Every nation seems to be lifting around the world. You know, you're seeing Ireland getting better, and England are a powerhouse under Eddie Jones now. And it's everywhere you go, there's a challenge, isn't there? It used to be the three of you, the South Africans, the Kiwis, and the Aussies, and the rest were kind of in another basket. But now every test match you play, especially abroad, is a frigging hard one.
Yeah, always, always. And, you know, we've got the Irish coming out for three games.
First time ever. I didn't realise it's the first time they've ever come out for a three-test series.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, fantastic. I mean, I know the players are already starting to talk about and get very excited around how that's going to look. You know, it's right smack bang in our year, and they've come off just a really good Six Nations win. So it's going to be some really, really solid matches there and a good start for our test season.
If there's one, as captain of our nation again, if there's one rule change you'd make to your game, what would it be?
I think they're starting to get them pretty right. The scrums aren't... One thing they did with the scrums this year is if the ball's pretty much at the back and the scrum's collapsed or gone down, is it's just get the ball out, play it on. Whereas I think previously years it was a repack.
Yeah.
And you'd go back to that thing. Now... Yeah.
That's good.
I think the scrum's a great part of our game, a really huge contest, particularly with the Northern Nations. So you can't take it away. You've just got to make it better and make it still a contest while getting a lot of attacking rugby out in the field.
What's more intimidating, a packed house at one of the South African venues, Ellis Park or Newlands, you know, playing for either club or for the Wallabies? What's more intimidating, somewhere like that or Eden Park over in Auckland?
Yeah, look,
it's not intimidating.
You're right, it's exciting. Like your bus is coming
rise to the challenge.
You're seeing, you know, all the supporters turn up in the wrong jersey, you know, that sort of thing. And that gets you really excited, you know, that it's just you and the boys there, and it's only you in the house. So that's an exciting thing, and I think a motivation that you can definitely use.
Before we go to the segment that's taking Sydney by storm, three with MG, where will Michael Hooper be in 10 years' time?
No idea. Like, is that, like we talked about with your sons.
You got a girlfriend, missus?
I do. Yes, I do. But we talked about with your sons, you know, you just where the wind takes you, mate.
I love that, actually.
So loved up?
Yes.
Yeah, long term?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Semi-long term, yep. Right. No chance. How's the knee feeling? You know, chance of bending the knee at any
they're
point?
All right. They're all right. They're well greased, though. Got some WD-40.
I was going to say, mum and dad, I mean, do they have grandkids yet?
Yeah, they do. So
I haven't. So if my son's listening, legs, come on, mate. Step up to the plate.
You want to be a grandfather?
I'd love to be. I'm 50 now. Come on. Time's ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to
you
roll.
You instantly age, MG, when you become granddad.
Mate, it's all in the head.
What would your granddad name be? What would you want to call yourself? What would you want the grandkids call him?
Papa Bear.
Give me strength. All right, here we go. This is the radio benchmark that has taken Sydney by storm.
What is it? Three with MG.
That's a magic number. This is kind of a little segment. We ask three questions of our guests who come in studio, who take the time. So we thought we'd take the time to find out more about you. And Hoops, today, the first question is, growing up, did you have a celebrity crush on anybody?
Yes. It was the body, Elle McPherson.
Second one in a row. Who was the last one who said that?
Someone else said Elle McPherson.
Just recently.
Who was it?
Oh, we'll work it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. It was that's two votes.
Yeah, two in two. Mm. But we've had about 20 answers to that. So even Chris Lynn said David Hasselhoff.
Oh yeah, not bad.
When you've had a couple of ales in the downtime, you're going past the karaoke bar, and the boys say, Honey Badger walks in with you and say, let's have a song. What's that song you go to the karaoke room?
September, Earth, Wind & Fire.
Oh, can you remember?
That's tough.
That's good.
That's tough.
I don't hit the high notes I'll give it a crack, though.
And the cone just set out. Beep test is on for the third time this week, but you just don't feel it. What's your go-to injury to fake it?
Go-to injury? What is it? Toe? I've got a...
Toe?
Yeah, I've got a bad toe at the moment. That's a real one. What do you mean?
So,
give you some examples. A lot of people have said, "Oh, the back's feeling a little bit
stiff." I've been on the toilet all night with the runs, and or I've got a migraine, or
oh no, you just say I'm feeling a bit neurally.
Neurally,
yeah.
Oh.
So you just
neutral. Does that mean neutral?
Yeah,
or?
No, the neural. What do you call them?
I think Curly Burr said the same thing.
Yeah, you just, and then you just sort of touch your backside, and you're just a bit neurally.
That's what Drew Mitchell was saying, actually.
It doesn't really answer anything or give it any hints, but you're just a bit neurally.
They don't know what to check. Yeah, you're right.
Before you go, just love to get your comments on what's been happening overseas as an Australian leader. I know you probably can't say too much on the cricket, but we've been inundated the last couple of days with callers, good, bad and ugly about it. What's your point? From your point of view, what's your stance on it?
Well, I think it's sad. But, what I will say on it is there seems to be new information coming out every couple of hours. So I find it really hard to make a judgment when every couple of hours there's new information. So I don't have all the information. I'm not privy to it. You are not in the room. Until those come out, I'm sitting back like any other punter at the moment and waiting for it.
That's a very well said, very measured statement, and I really respect that, because I remember 5 years ago we sat here and I was on the grill team and we're watching, and they said there's a press conference at 10 o'clock today that'll change Aussie sports forever.
Mm.
So we sat here and watched the monitors and we saw all the politicians around, and they said, every sportsman in Australia has been doping.
They declared it the darkest day in Australian sport.
And that's exactly what Hoops was saying. It took about 3 to 6 to 12 months till we finally found that it was some of the Sharks, some of the Essendon Bombers related to the same bloke.
Mm.
So it wasn't every person. So I think we all should just, brush our paint and just wait to let it dry.
Just on that, and I really respect that, as MJ said, your statement regarding the cricket. Do you are one of the very few people in this country to hold a national sporting captaincy position. Do you interact with other blokes or other women for that matter in those roles? Have you ever spent any time with current former Australian cricket captains?
Had a captain's lunch or something?
Yeah.
No, I haven't had anything like that, MG.
Be good.
Look, I'm sure it would be. It'd be really good to have that interaction. Unfortunately, it's always just passing.
Mm.
You run into them somewhere. We actually ran into the boys over in Durban when the Waratahs were there. You just sort of, it's always passing by, unfortunately, but there'd be so much good interaction. Like we spoke about when we saw the Roosters a couple years ago, it was great talking to them about how they look at their season, how they prep and all those type of things. So there's probably some good space for that.
MG, I reckon we organise the rush hour with MG's leaders lunch.
I think you call we call it the captain's table.
The captain's table.
Yep.
We extend the invitation to all the national sporting captains.
Yeah, we'll do it.
First invitation extended to you, Michael Hooper. Hoops, as we now call you because you're a friend of the show, thank you very much for giving us some time, mate. Best of luck for you taking on the Brumbies this Saturday night, 7:45.
Yes.
Get the bloody W so we can be celebrating. But thank you for coming in, making the time. We look forward to this Ireland series. It's going to be a cracker.
Yes.
Thank you, guys. Cheers.
Absolute pleasure, buddy.